this is a project that we undertake with the hope that we will succeed in the near future, but the knowledge that, in fact, it may be my granddaughter that's successful rather than myself. But nevertheless, those of us working on the project feel that it's important enough that we are all eager to get it started, to continue the technology development that will allow it to be done better and better until someday, hopefully, we will succeed. Telescope and pursuing something that has been a long time in the making, and to be perfectly honest, maybe a long time in the conclusion. Rachel told you about the genesis of the name Phoenix. Let me also begin with a little bit of truth in advertising. We call this general type of activity the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, but indeed that's a misnomer. We can't define intelligence any better than any of you out there can. What we are searching for is evidence of extraterrestrial technologies that can make themselves known or visible over the vast distances between the stars. And should we find evidence of technology, then we would presume that there's an intelligence of whatever form behind it. So for us, we have a very pragmatic definition of intelligence, and that's basically the ability to build a radio telescope, because the project that I'm going to tell you about is a radio search for signals generated by a distant technology. Now, there's a very, or at least I find it, very interesting story that can be told that makes this whole idea of searching for life and intelligence and technology out there plausible. The story of cosmic evolution and the place that life may take in that whole story. Let me just do a very short summary, because I'd like to tell you tonight about the actual project. Let me do a very short summary of the plausibility argument with two numbers. First number is a very big number. It's the number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy that we inhabit, a few hundred billion. Actually, there are as many galaxies in the observable universe as there are stars in our own galaxy. There are more places out there where planetary systems and life may have evolved than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of our planet. So there are potentially a large number of life sites within our galaxy and many galaxies within the universe. So that's the big number. And the other number is a very small number. That's the length of time that it took life to get started on this planet once we had a planet with a solid surface and liquid water. And that's a very, very small number. We can push, with looking at the microfossil record, can push life back 3.5 billion years ago. We have fossil stromatolites, the kinds of things that are growing still today in Sharks Bay, Australia. This is a colonial blue-green algae sort of life form, which is very complex. Clearly, it wasn't the first. And pushing back farther and farther with microfossil evidence, we can trace life back to 3.8 billion years ago, a couple of hundred million years after the surface of the planet stabilized and we had liquid water. And recently, there's been evidence that the very late bombardment, the very energetic and destructive kinds of collisions that happened early in the Earth's history, basically all the garbage that was left over from the formation of the planetary system, on the formation of our star, the Sun, that late heavy bombardment might have continued all the way through about 3.5 billion years ago when life was already established. And there have been some estimates that say huge collisions With enough energy deposited to sterilize, vaporize the oceans and stop any life processes that have started, might have continued on the average every 10 or 100,000 years, all the way up to 3.5 billion years ago. So there are even people talking about the fact it wasn't a couple of hundred million years for life to get started, but very short time scales, like even 10,000 or 100,000 years. But even a couple of hundred million years is a blink of an eye in terms of cosmic time. And life got started here as soon as it could. It therefore seems not unreasonable to expect that given suitable circumstances elsewhere, life may also have arisen there. So it's a basic plausibility argument. It doesn't prove anything. It just says that it's not unreasonable to try an experiment to see if we can answer this very old question that we as humans have asked ourselves through the ages. Are we alone in this universe? Well, the experiment that Phoenix is trying, the Project Phoenix and my colleagues are trying, is a search to look and see if we can find radio signals coming from distant technologies. And to do that, we need to use large radio telescopes. And these telescopes are located around the world, and that's quite appropriate, because I'd like to remind you that any radio signal that's being transmitted is not being transmitted to the SETI Institute in California, nor to the Parkes Radio Telescope in Australia. It's being transmitted to the planet Earth. And any signal that's detected, likewise, is the property of all humankind. And that is certainly our intention, should we ever be successful in detecting a signal, that information gets as widely distributed, as accurately, and as rapidly as possible. For some of you who have never seen a radio telescope, I like to show this slide to show you that not all radio telescopes look the same. I mean, I think you'll see a certain familiarity between that telescope and this one here, the 140-foot at Green Bank, West Virginia.